Good evening. I want to take the opportunity to thank everyone for being here and also the opportunity to be able to deliver a lesson. As I'm sure most of you have had, it's somewhat of a rhetorical question, but have you ever had those days, maybe weeks or even months or years, where it seems like every time you go in a direction, you hit a brick wall? And it often comes at times where you don't really expect it. And to kind of give you an example of what I'm thinking of, you know, we just had a child and everything's great and he's healthy and we're happy, but I mean, I just didn't realize it was just going to be this tasking. And, you know, and I say that because all of you who have children in this audience told me prior to, like, you have no idea what is in store for you. And, you know, in all reality, I didn't. And I guess it's at some point there's you just have to experience that yourself. But I say that also to tell each and every one of you and others, too, who are not in this audience, that those words and just your presence and, you know, someone to say, yes, I've been through that, or, well, I had it worse. You know, those are encouraging factors. At least they are to me. I know they have been to Emily. And, you know, that kind of started me on this thought process. You know, unfortunately, we live in a world that is plagued with death. It's plagued with heartache. And some of us have recently experienced that, and all of us have experienced it in our life. And, you know, it's just, it kind of elevates the purpose of what encouragement is. And so tonight, as the songs have indicated, and I appreciate Todd and Sam for picking those songs. I didn't ask them which songs to, or I didn't tell them which songs to lead, but they are certainly appropriate, as well as the men who read for me. You know, there are numerous verses that are available that talk about encouragement. I mean, you can take that in so many different directions. But tonight, I kind of wanted to think about, in saying that, that, you know, as much of a help as every one of you have been to me in different situations in my life, you know, I want to make sure that we can then pay that forward and be that kind of person for someone else. And that got me to thinking about I hate to say character because it kind of notates a sense of fiction, but a person in the Bible who characterized these traits, and that was Barnabas. I mean, his name alone, as we read in Acts 4:36, it says, "Now Joseph, a Levite of Cyprian birth, who was also called Barnabas by the apostles, which translated means son of encouragement." Given that name by the apostles, and we're given right after that in verse 4:37, or chapter 4, verse 37, you know, an example of kind of how to his character, at least the onset of that, and we learn who Barnabas becomes and how important he is, not only to the apostles, but so many people. He traveled, and certainly he had to be someone who encouraged greatly, not just new Christians, but also Paul, in many situations, being as they traveled together to a lot of places. But having said that, I just kind of want to talk about, you know, the fact that the naming of Barnabas shows the importance that the apostles notated to being someone who encourages, as well as taking that and going through the lesson of how can we encourage one another. And I've got three examples, and I'm reading from a computer screen because I had some trouble with technology earlier today, so just bear with me. But I want to talk about how we can be a leader by an example, as well as our words. Granted, they're kind of fused together, but I also want to talk the Word of God and how we use the Word of God to encourage others. And also our presence, or just being available, which also embodies the church and what that means to be here with one another and how encouraging that is. So looking at an example, I do want to read that very next verse, and it says, talks about Barnabas and his characteristic. He said in verse 37 of chapter 4 of Acts, "And who owned a tract of land, sold it, and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet." Now here's someone who wasn't asked to do this. He just did it because he realized that there was a need there. And I can imagine that the in my mind, having read that and knowing that they named him as they did, that this was a sense of, I mean, you're talking about a world that was predominantly, you know, they were a minority. I mean, that goes without saying. But to know that people cared this much about the spiritual aspects of life, cared this much about the ability for the church to thrive and to make this sort of sacrifice without being asked to, and then, allowing the apostles to have this blessing for the furtherment of what they were called to do, obviously, you know, it left a great impression upon them. And it still leaves a great impression upon us. Looking next, then, at Paul, of course, we're going to look at Paul as well as Barnabas, but he demonstrates this also by living an active faith and not necessarily putting and laying hold of all the physical things in life that we so often grasp hold of, even though we know we're not supposed to, and we know we're supposed to concentrate on the spiritual aspects of life. But, you know, all too often, I know myself, I'm guilty of putting way too much emphasis on bills that need to be paid or houses that need to be bought or what am I going to do over here, what am I going to do with work. And before I realize it, I hadn't thought anything about spiritual things. I'm thinking so much about physical things. And Paul really, you know, embodies this lifestyle in that he, as we, I think, said this morning, he dropped everything. Looking at Romans chapter 1, verses 11 to 12, it says, "For I long to see you, that I may impart some spiritual gift to you, that you may be established, that is, that I may be encouraged together with you while among you, each one of us by others' faith, both yours and mine." So Paul realized how important it was to be with one another and to set the right example for one another, because that's what God has established in the fact that we have brothers and sisters in Christ. We're a family. We don't have to go through this thing alone. And there are those outside the family that also need to understand what this family consists of. And how are they going to know that if we don't show them by our example? So it's a double effect, so to speak, in that we help one another, but we also have the opportunity through work or whatever, school, gym, whatever the case may be, to find others to bring them into the fold so that we can then not just increase our number, but increase that spiritual encouragement that exists within the family of God. Moving on, I want to talk about with words. Now, as there are many, many verses that notate the danger of our tongue, on the other side of that coin, the tongue also has a unique way to be able to uplift. We have the Word of God. We read from it. We read from it today. We read from it when we go through different parts of our service. In times of grief, in times of joy, we can find all the different notations that help us to center our minds and our spirit on who we're supposed to be through all those different conditions of life. But also, I want to kind of look at, you know, how do we take those themes of the Bible and then, you know, project that out of our own mouths so that we're available and we're there to be able to encourage one another. Looking at Acts 14, verse 22, it says, Barnabas and Paul urged the disciples, encouraging them to continue in the faith, and saying, "Through many tribulations we must enter the kingdom of God." I'm sure some of you, well, I need to know, Noah has been a coach of the CrossFit thing, a trainer, however you terminize that. But, if you've ever played a sport, one of the biggest things of that, or worked out, you know, and having someone you work, it's having just someone there to keep motivating, you know. I think that's all I do at work, because they don't really need me. They just need somebody to tell them they're doing a good job, you know. And I say that somewhat playfully, but, every now and then it's good to hear that you're actually doing something that's worthwhile, that kind of reiterates to someone that they're doing a good job. Or, you know, maybe it's the other side of the coin where they're, maybe they're having a hard day or going through a tough time like we talked about earlier, and they just need someone to reiterate to them that things are going to be okay. Or as Paul and Barnabas indicated to these Christians, that you know, maybe it's not going to be just, you know, happy-go-lucky, but there is an end in sight, and your efforts are not in vain. We have to constantly remind one another, and I have to remind myself, and I get that reminder from each one of you in different shapes, form, and fashion that, you know, we're all in this for a reason, and it's not going to be the easiest thing that, in fact, it's probably going to be the hardest thing we've ever done. But there is opportunity, and there's a way to get through it if we just keep chugging along and stay the course. Also looking at Acts 15, we can look how in letters and speech, how this was encouraging to those Christians. Acts 15, verses 31 and 32, it says, Judas and Silas, of course, delivering a letter from Paul and Barnabas, it states how the Christians were so encouraged by its content. Now, granted, well, let me say this. Miss Charlene, she'll write me a card if I'm out or whatever the case may be, and I don't know how she knows that I've been, I guess, through word of mouth. But, you know, when I pick up those cards and I read them, it's nice. It gives you kind of that warm, glowing feeling that somebody cares and that you weren't there, or, you know, whether it's a Christmas card. And I know in this day and age we don't necessarily do that as often as we have in the past, but, you know, taking the time to call someone just to check on them, or taking the time to write them a letter, or just, you know, make some sort of form of communication that lets you know that people care and people are available when you need them. And, you know, all too often I think we hinder ourselves because we don't want to be a burden on someone, and maybe we even deprive our brothers and sisters from having the opportunity to do the things that we're talking about, because, you know, we're all about encouraging one another, but, you know, you don't have to take the time to encourage me. I'll be fine. Don't worry about me. And we need to be careful that we don't do that either, because I know you know, we want to be selfless people, and we don't want to be, the type of people that just woe is me, but it's good to have those kind of relationships, and it needs to be a give and go type of relationship as well. But just keeping in mind that, you know, using God's word and using opportunities to communicate to one another, it can go such a long way. I can think of very distinct moments in my life, and I can cite them very well and almost call you a date and time when I was going through some really tough stuff. And the persons that indicated certain things to me, it wasn't that they had these things planned out or something. They just kind of happened to be in the right place at the right time. And they said things to me that I've never forgotten. And they probably couldn't recall it if I told them, but it meant the world to me. And as I, you know, going forward now, becoming a father and a husband, I recall those words quite often. And the importance of those just magnifies in who I am. And I'm sure you have similarities, similar things that you could tell about as well. Moving along, we can encourage one another with our presence. Talk about Paul's presence in Colossians 2, verses 1 through 2. For I want you to know how great a struggle I have on your behalf, and for those who are at Laodicea, and for all those who have not personally seen my face, that their hearts may be encouraged, having been knit together in love and attaining to all the wealth that comes from the full assurance of understanding of God's mystery, that is, Christ himself. Paul understood that there were those who had probably heard words from him through letters and things, but he realized the importance of what it meant because of the job he had been tasked, given to him by Christ, that he be there, that they be able to see him. Now, unfortunately, you know, he probably was not able to get every place that he would like, and some he wanted to revisit, and he had goals with that. But he understood that being available meant the world to some of these Christians, especially those who were struggling, who were babes in Christ. And that's not untrue of today. You know, granted, we're not apostles, but every one of you, I can personally say this, every one of you, it matters to me when you're here or not here. You know, when I was joking with Emily this morning, I was like, I hope we get to church and there's 200 people in the pews. She was like, well, you know, I don't, maybe if a Florida College bus comes through, maybe that's true. I was like, well, you know, It'd be great. But I say that because it's such an edifying experience to be able to, be with Christians. Too often, with our jobs and things, we're kind of alienated, unfortunately, from our brothers and sisters. And the times that we're able to be together, for me, and I know for each one of you, having expressed it to me in conversation, they're so important. Friday night we ate dinner with the Molitors and the Everetts and, of course, the in-laws. And just being there and talking about things and knowing that we share a common faith, those things are so, they're so valuable. And it's something that means a lot to everyone who participates. And you know the old saying, you get out of it what you put in it. I know every one of you are loving people, and every time I'm with you, if I don't tell you, I'm telling you now, it makes a difference in my life, and I appreciate that. And I would hope that that my presence would do the same. I want to look also in Hebrews 10:25, where it talks about, of course, not forsaking the assembly, but as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. And that kind of just reiterates the point that I was making, that I'm not going to get into necessarily being at services, but every opportunity we can be together, we can be of benefit to our brothers and sisters in Christ, it certainly makes a huge difference. And I kind of want to wrap all those up in saying that, the biggest encouragement we have is the encouragement of God's promises and the fulfillment that we know will be had through them. We know God is a God that cannot lie. He's the most trustworthy source that there is or could ever be. And it is encouraging to know that God took the time through the Holy Spirit to talk to each and every one of us. He takes the time to listen to us in prayer. And this is the creator of the world, creator of the universe. Almighty God takes the time through his Son, whom he sit down here to die for each and every one of us. That's how much he cares about. And there is nothing more encouraging than that. And I think sometimes we kind of, at least speaking for myself, we get caught up in the day-to-day and we forget how great of a sacrifice that is. I know when we commemorate it in the Lord's Supper, we focus on it, but I know I've tried to do more in focusing on that each and every day, and not being guilty of doing it on Sunday and Wednesday night. Again, that's just making sure that we're putting ourselves in positions to be able to be surrounded by God's people and God's Word and things that are faithful. So to kind of conclude all of this, and I thank you for your attention, but how can we encourage one another in the faith? Well, we can set a good example. And that's not just people in the faith, that's people outside the faith. We use words that encourage rather than words that hinder. And with our presence in worship and in other activities of the church, we can be encouraging with that also. So as life throws so many different hurdles in our direction, let us be mindful of the opportunities, as James says, when we are given a task that's difficult, it's a time to glorify God. And let's just be mindful of that. And I know we're all very, all of you are wonderful people, and I know that all of you have been very encouraging to me, as I've already stated, but let's just be mindful of how valuable our presence, our words, and our example can be. If this lesson is of benefit to anyone that perhaps isn't a child of God, then there's no time like the present. And also, if maybe you're a child of God and you found yourself maybe not being everything that you need to be, whether it be privately or publicly, if it is publicly, certainly we'd love and cherish the opportunity to pray with you about that. Won't you come now as we stand?
Hark the gentle voice.